This is Cab Class with Gary, Mark and Sean. And we're asking, are you a classy cabbie or a dirty old dog? If you think you're a classy cabbie, maybe you have a story to tell and you don't mind us digging out your past, then get in touch by emailing us at newcabclass@gmail.com. Gotta love it. That's Cab Class with Gary, Mark and Sean.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the brand new podcast for the taxi trade, Cab Class, the show where we interview your favourite taxi drivers and find out if they're classy cabbies or dirty dogs. Right, thanks everyone for tuning in. Thank you all for the great feedback you've been giving us. Don't forget to subscribe to the London Taxi Radio YouTube channel. You can also find us on Twitter and also now on Instagram. We've set that up. We've not got nothing on it yet, but there will be some content coming once the pandemic's over, everything's lifted, and we can start getting some videos for you. It's going to be a lot of fun, so stay tuned for that. Right, I'm Gary, one of your hosts. You all know me. Next to me is me mucker, Chelsea Mark. How are you, pal?
Hello, mate. How are you? Nice to see you.
Yeah, not too bad. What have you been up to? We missed a week last week, didn't we?
Oh, not a lot, mate. I'm busy growing my hair. I've got a thing about cutting it.
I'm trying to sweep it back.
It's mad, isn't it? It's mad. But what do I do? I ain't had it cut for 3 months.
Yeah,
it's like a protest, isn't it? my wife cuts ish, but can only do bottom bits. Can't do the top and all that. So it's getting a little bit.
You want to get one of them young fades?
Young faces?
No, fade. Right. The fade.
Yeah. So she cut the side bits. So we're half happy with that. Oh, I can't do the top with scissors. Can only use which is handy. Half a job. Now I'm in that stage where I don't know what I'm going to do, buy a hat or do it illegally, you know, get someone to cut it, you know, behind closed doors.
Mine looks all right, mate. Oh, I say, yeah, you just get out and run your fingers through it.
Yeah, right, don't mess about, a bit of gel, I hope you like it.
Yeah, I do. You've done a good job there, mate. I've been grafting indoors.
Oh, I spoke to you yesterday, you sounded stressed.
What is it, mate? I've got my calves are aching, my arse is aching, my hands. I laid some flooring and I've been doing some painting. And I've really worked hard on it, you know what I mean? And you know when you do that indoors, and then C comes in, doesn't she? The clerk of works, snags it, gives it. What you're not doing that bit?
Yeah, and, what's happening there? Yeah. I can see the brush strokes there. What you've done?
Yeah, exactly. And you can imagine how that went down. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to getting back in
the
cab.
You know, women can paint. That was it. Well, I see that on telly once. You know, women can paint. They're allowed to. Seriously? Really? Yeah.
What? It don't sound a tin men only.
No, and the brushes are bilingual, whatever. They can both use them. Yeah.
Jesus. Seriously. I'll have to tell her. Yeah, that'll go down well.
Yeah. Get involved.
Why don't you have a go?
Yeah, you have a go. There you go. And I'll come in half an hour and pop at you.
That'll go down.
And then you can live here. Above, they've got a spare room here if you want to move.
Yeah.
You won't be able
to. Right, let's get our other pal in. How are you, Sean Paul Day?
Oh, well, my calves are aching, my arse is aching.
Yeah.
I was out all night last night.
Right, yeah.
He was painting, yeah?
He was painting the town red.
What a thing to say. I tell you what is happening. Everything seems like madness at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Everything's just falling apart. On a macro level, on a micro level, everything is absolutely falling apart. It all started with Extinction Rebellion, you've got Black Lives Matter, you know, you've got lockdown, and everybody's protesting, everybody's going crackers, isn't they?
We could protest about all these protests because they're doing me idiot. Everyone's people who are offended on other people's behalf, aren't they?
That's right.
Then you say, I'm not offended, yeah, but I'm offended for you.
That's right.
And I'm going to go and have a march up.
And it seems to be the ones who are offended on other people's behalf who are doing the protests.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
They're the ones kicking off.
A lot of them are like professional protesters, well.
They are.
They do appear in most places, yeah. But I mean, well, we love a protest, so we can't talk as a
trade. I don't get paid.
You could protest regularly, couldn't you? You were born to protest.
I could protest with a mop. Do you know what I mean? I could. It'd be great.
When I worked in the print, we had a union official who was like you, you know, really brilliant, great orator, and he told this joke about where he managed to get a one-day week where we could only work Wednesdays, and someone in the audience put their hand up and went, every Wednesday. Well, that's the sort of thing. You can't please everyone, and that's how life, isn't it?
And in the end, you can't see the wood for the trees. Yeah. Right, it's just so much going on. You think, look, I can only care about so many things.
Everybody seems to have their own personal holocaust. I mean, that's not being crude. It's just everybody is aggrieved. Everybody's persecuted or feels persecuted at the moment, don't they?
I think social media has fueled that, hasn't it? Where you can be offended and annoy people while sitting in your pants indoors and do it as almost like a hobby. I mean, we're a small part of that. The cab trade is great. You can rather have another cab driver over anything.
Yeah.
About a bigger part, I mean, that's sadly that girl that got killed, you know, and then you got from that the protests and then
it gets hijacked, doesn't it?
Of course it does.
I think that's the key word, the hijacking of things that are important and then just taking them off to the far right, to the far left.
Yeah, but that's because we lack leadership.
We need you, Sean.
We do.
Buckle up, make yourself a nice cup of Rosie Lee and listen to Cab Class with Gary, Mark and Sean. The podcast just for cabbies.
So we've got a guest today.
We have got a guest. Let's get to him. We're really happy you come, Dan. He's been a firefighter for 21 years and he's been a green badge holder for 8 years. I'd like everyone to put their hands together for Lou, the Brixton fireman.
Lou.
How are you, mate?
Oh, yeah, well, it's
so we've put in the artificial clap.
You know what you're going to be like. Worth a clap.
Thanks
for coming down, mate. I really appreciate it.
No worries.
Lou, Brixton.
Yeah. So, you're a firefighter.
Yeah, you can't say fireman.
Not a fireman.
No, because you offend. We've
now,
just
what
spoke
about
offending.
Fire him? That way, you know how they do it on Twitter now. What's it?
Cis male.
Cis male.
Yeah,
you could say
cis firefighter.
Why ain't there
a fire Samantha? There's a fireman Sam.
there probably is.
There probably will be.
Don't get him too concerned. He looks like he's going to get the sack already.
Gotta be careful.
Even isn't firefighter a bit of a microaggression? Couldn't we call it like a fire pacifier?
You could do.
A fire calmer.
I'll go with fire karma. I like that. Yeah.
But I mean, I know you're going to say you don't, but a lot of your job is getting cats out of trees, and you're not really a firefighter to do that, are you?
Yeah. twice in 21 years. Yeah, I've really.
But I've never seen a dead cat in a tree, so someone's getting them out.
But isn't it true that you no longer go up the ladders to get it out? You just flush it out with a hose.
Flush it out.
Really? Is that true? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't blast it off and like kill it, but you just get a bit closer.
They'll
find
a way
down.
Milk.
Yeah, it'd be expensive, wouldn't it? Yeah.
That's mad. I didn't know that.
So, is how long you've been a? Sorry, you've been a firefighter for 21 years. Was that your first job you ever did, or what led you into that trade?
Weirdly, I was a scaffolder.
Okay.
And I carried on scaffolding.
So you had 10 GCSEs then?
Six. six at the most. Sorry. Scaffolder. One day, someone said to me, I was in his office actually, I can't remember what I was doing, and he said, he picked up the phone, he said, oh, the fire brigade are recruiting today. He said, I'm waiting at 9 o'clock to ring up. I said, oh, all right. I'd never wanted to do it before. He said, why don't you give it a go? So I gave it a go, got through, got in first time.
Was it hard getting into it?
Yeah, it was tougher than it is now. I don't want to be that sort of person.
Yeah.
Tougher than it is now. Standards aren't as high because they have to sort of make it a bit more equal for everyone. But yeah, it was tough enough.
So what does it entail? Because I had a mate who fouled it, so...
It was like lifting the equivalent of our heaviest ladder.
Do you have to play darts and pool in the interview?
That comes after.
Hang on a sec, Gary. Yeah. You have a mate. Do we know him?
Well, he ain't been on the show yet.
Yeah. No way. You've got a mate that ain't been on.
Oh, he's not a mate. Mate of like he's just someone I know.
And he fouled the five ago. Yeah, what was it? Yeah. The fitness thing.
I can't remember. I think it might have even been the questionnaire. Was there a questionnaire bit?
There was a questionnaire bit. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he fouled that.
Yeah.
I'll let you know, Dean, if you're listening. I know. I'll just give you up. I don't care.
Ex-mate.
So what it entails, you have to do lift the ladder. Is there a...
Lift the ladder, run sort of a certain amount, like a bleep test. You know, everyone knows a bleep test. Yeah. So that sort of thing, normal sort of maths tests and stuff like that. I don't know what it is so much nowadays. I wouldn't want to sort of...
Was it true back? You had to be of a certain stature as well. You had to be so tall.
Is this a dig?
That'd be your advertised man.
Thanks very much.
Is he standing on that seat?
Well, there was a time in the police force you had to be 6 foot, but I don't think that applies.
They had the hat on now, didn't they? He's six foot with the hat.
I think they did have to have, I think there was a height, there was definitely an eyesight thing, which I don't think says so much now. There's definitely a hearing thing. I think you have to obviously have very good hearing in case if you, like the worst case scenario, you're in a fire, you have to try and hear something, but...
They were firemen to be strong and hard and big, though, didn't you? I don't want to. Well, I think you do, didn't you? You're going to get me out of my house. You're going to have to, you're going to have to work hard, first of all, aren't you, to get me out of a window and down the ladder.
I don't want a little kid coming up going,
I'm not being funny, he's going to be like, oh, getting down his ladder.
Yeah, but you can't offend people, can you? Because there's people that want to do the job that.
Yeah, but the thing is,
people want to do the job. Yeah, and they got to give them a chance.
Yeah, but I want to be a ballet dancer. I can't. Can I?
So you can, you just won't be a good one.
How risky is it cleaning the engine all day long?
You lot are throwing under the bus here.
I've got 180
at darts. I can clear 7 balls, and my highest break is about 32.
I failed the interview because I went in off the black. And all of a sudden, the guy said, "You're not for us." He said, "I'm sorry, you've got to go."
Oh, it'll all be light-hearted. Yeah, we'll find out about your fire brigade.
Right, now, we'll get serious. So you've done the test. You're in. So where was you? How old was you, and where was you first stationed?
I was 23.
So young.
And
man,
I was posted to Kingston. I lived in Clapham at the time, or Battersea. Battersea at the time. Went to Kingston. Didn't particularly enjoy it. It was a bit hard for me. I wasn't used to the ways of what it was. I wasn't really told very well. Not a big deal, but one of those things. Sort of tried to get out. Posted back to Clapham, and I spent 18 years at Clapham. And then last 2 years ago, I went to I went to Brixton just to be a bit, basically almost chasing it, just to be a bit busier. Left some really, really good mates at Clapham where I'd been with for 18 years, and not any regrets. But yeah, I went back. Reinvented myself, sort of thing. I wanted to be busier again. I wanted to sort of. You can get stale, like this job. You can get stale. You can sit there and not move. You can not go on. You can start ranking up.
So why would Brixton be busier than Clapham?
They have two appliances, so two fire engines.
And or more Clapham. Barbecues.
This is what we're talking about, right? More barbecues.
The missuses are sitting on the stove every night.
There's more likely
sitting on the hob.
Bigger station, bigger cooker, more cats. Yeah,
maybe that's it. So, Brixton's where you live now?
I live in Brixton now. Yeah, South London, not far.
Have you got South London on the show? Did you not know?
No, I didn't. Well, Brixton, load of Brixton firemen did give it away.
But this is the first, we're trying to venture. We've got the first non-Arsenal fan on here. We're in the first.
Oh, who's your team?
I've got a season ticket at Chelsea.
Oh, he's one of your mob. Yeah, look.
Same as me.
Have you got a season ticket as well?
Yeah, I have. Let's talk about Champions League because we've not covered that in the last nine shows. They play Thursdays, as you know.
We're playing Thursdays and Sundays.
Yeah, you're all happy now, aren't you? Look, because Roman's tipped the city up.
Been happy
look.
Since 2012, haven't we?
You've been happy before then.
Oh, fucking look, the 2003 team.
I was in Munich. Was you in Munich?
No, I didn't go. No, I wasn't.
Oh yeah, let's get back to cats. Come on.
Right. So what shift did you used to do or still do? Is it still
It's 4-on-4-off, which gives this job the perfect part time. It's perfect for
help with the knowledge, obviously.
You help with the knowledge because you do get a tiny bit of downtime. You know, you can do the
did it affect
at
your
the
darts,
station. The yeah, well, yeah, my average went down, but that came back up after a while.
What would be the average day, night shift?
Right, so you do your hours in anyway are sort of 9:30 in the morning to 8 at night.
Okay,
so you do that for 2 days. And then you don't come back on till the day after at 8 o'clock, and you go on through to 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, right.
So you do sort of like 10.5 hour days, 13 and a half
hours. Quite a lot of hours a week, isn't it? It's longer than the normal hours, isn't it?
It's average. It's 48, but it's average for 42 on a week. So because it rolls on an 8 day shift.
Without being too political, one of the most odious people in my book in politics was Brian Coleman.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Now Brian Coleman was instrumental in rearranging all your working hours, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you know that, okay, somebody might have said you had it good, but you understand that you need to sleep through the night. You understood the hours, and you understood the part the workforce would have played in originally setting up those hours.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to scrap all that.
He wanted to scrap everything.
Yeah.
there's just, I would probably think I would say a moderner type firefighter, and I don't sort of want to sit there and say, oh, it was good in the old days. It is what it is. Mm. But Brian Coleman was just pure Tory nastiness.
Well, I'm glad he got the sack as well.
Yeah. And he lost quite a lot for that, which is...
Was he behind a lot of the closures of fire stations?
He was behind the drive for the closures, He wasn't behind the actual closures. I think that was Johnson and then
Why do you
Cleverly
think that was? Was it just to regain the property or...?
It's money. It's a Tory thing, isn't it? It's a money thing. And, you know, if you turn around and say to the average Joe... Ain't that many fires nowadays. Not many people die in fires. What the people don't know is that those people that do... die in fires.
Yeah.
They reclassified how they die in fires. I know we get technical here, but you know it used to be died in a fire or affected by a fire, it would go down a statistic. But nowadays, if you rescue someone from that fire and they die on the way to hospital, they ain't a fire death.
Right.
They died. That's not attributed.
Statistic manipulation.
So it's what we see on everything you see. See, people, you know, to people's credit, they don't really want to delve into it. They listen to news and. Why would you let them? You know, I know what it's like when you dive in and out of politics. You sort of get right in, and when you think about it, nothing changes. You end up winding yourself up. Yeah. So you just appreciate that people. What you said, we were talking about Uber earlier. People don't know the ins and outs of Uber.
No, that's right.
It's the first person on this podcast
to mention the Uber version.
Sorry about that. And I'm the one moaning about it on the Twitter all the time as well. Don't mention it. Don't mention it. And I've mentioned it straight away.
We've only got you on here because of your great Twitter. So we look around. We've got 20,000 to choose from, and we chose you.
Oh, thanks, mate.
So that's your choice as well.
And that doesn't mean there's 20,000 lining up to come on.
No. But you're in the top 10. You're the 10th.
Nice.
So well played, mate.
Great, and if you listened before, you'll know that Mark has got a bit of a firefighting fetish.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, there was one of the shows where it all come out. I went mad.
Now it's not that he wants to be a fighter. He wants to be saved.
Do you want to be saved?
No, When I first started going back with dancing clubs and all that, all your men are probably, you know, the studio and Streatham and all that, I was always a firefighter. What do you do for a living? I was always a firefighter. I look like I've been set on fire. But I was always the job.
Great PR, haven't they, firefighters?
Oh, it just works, doesn't it? It just works.
Women don't swoon when the ambulance turns up.
They don't. An ambulance man is looked at, it's so true, isn't it? A fireman is just so bad, isn't it?
I'll tell you, here's a quick story. I went with my partner at the time, who was also a firefighter. We went to New York, and going through customs at New York takes a long while. They do your thumbprint, they do your eyes, iris in your eyes, you know, all this test takes ages. And then they have a little chat with you while you're going to New York, where you're staying and all that. What do you do as a job? I told him I was a cab driver, and there was this scowl on his face that I was this cab driver, and perhaps I shouldn't be going to New York being a cab driver. Yeah. My other half, I could see it told him he was a firefighter, and they were laughing and joking, and they were looking at me and pointing at me like this, like I shouldn't be there, but he could. And I said, well, what did he say to you? And he said, well, he was told that firefighting is the last honourable job left in the world. And I just thought,
he was right though, wasn't he?
He was right.
Wasn't he right though?
I thought, what a compliment.
Oh, there Jesus you are, Christ. Sleeping the nights away, rescuing women, cooking their crumpet on a night. You know, you have it good compared to us.
No, my missus, the only reason I end up with my missus is because she weren't bothered. And it really bothered me, she weren't bothered. Because you used to, you'd meet someone and you'd say something like, and they'd ask you questions. Because you'd always have a story. You're not just trying to be a hero, because we all know it ain't like that really, deep down. But it's got stories. There's always something. It's always an interesting conversation at dinner. You've always got something to say. She weren't bothered. She weren't bothered at all. And it really got to me. Why ain't she asking me about my job? You know, asking me? And I think that's why I stayed.
I've got a good fireman mate, Dave, and he's a cab driver as well. And he's just like you. Because you've got the banter, because you live it, didn't you? You guys are together. The camaraderie is there. Mm. So you got thick skin. You can have a laugh. I can imagine it being brutal if you can't handle it.
It's brutal. Have you seen how close my eyes are together? It's brutal. They'd be close, wouldn't they? That's what it is.
But he looks like a firefighter as well. I don't know whether you got their standard t-shirts on. Is that? That's it. Looks like a standard firefighter t-shirt.
He did that for you, Sean.
I don't know. Spell the aftershave as well.
That's right.
Right. So we touched on it. the camaraderie, is that one of the best parts about the job?
I'd say the best part about the job. Yeah. You know, we it's very close with the shouts. You can go days without a fire, but you will always have other shouts, things yeah. going on.
And
but
you've got to have each other's backs, haven't you?
You've got to have each other's backs. No matter how you look at it, you've got to have each other's backs.
So it's so important, isn't it? It's a cliche.
It's one that I would be the first one to say, oh, don't start that, old rubbish, don't talk. But at the end of the day, they've got to, if there is the worst case scenario, they need to pull you out. They need to be your mate. Yeah. They need to be someone you can trust. Yeah. It doesn't happen. You know, the potential can happen, but it doesn't happen. But if it could, you need someone that's gonna be there for you, and they have to be the same ones that you have a laugh with and you don't have needle with. And it's groups of mates. I never shy from it. My station to be like a boys' club. Yeah. It is like a boys' club. It's such good fun, but at the same time they're very professional and they know what to do.
Are you waiting on that buzzer to go?
Effectively, how it feels? There's always my old station. It was a lot more laid back. It wasn't just doing nothing, but you would do what you would do, and then you would go out and you would have your shouts.
Yeah, yeah.
Now at Brixton's a bit more professional in the way of the more training, constant more training. Even if it's overdone, it's more training, but it sets you up well for firefighting. You have to, when you go out the doors, you have to be switched on. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I don't want to sound like that cliche, but you have to be switched on.
Listen, this is life and death situation.
So you don't finish that game of pool.
No, you leave it. Yeah.
And my wife's asked me to say this. And you do go down a pole?
You go down a pole, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you just don't show up. You could have easily slept on the ground floor.
Yeah.
But you have to have the pole.
Sometimes they run upstairs and then slide back down.
Yeah, that takes longer, doesn't it? But they go slower to catch up trees, so they've got more time. So you can go cut down that a couple of times.
When I was at Kingston, I fell down a pole.
No.
Yeah.
And still made the truck? Or
yeah, luckily it wasn't like, it was only a sort of a one floor. Kingston's like a low level sort of fire station, like for the small people basically. And the bells went down and it was the middle of the night and I was absolute. And they were hard, like nowadays it's a melody that's played to wake you up. It's a melody to get you ready. It's meant to be like, it's meant to not shock you into action. It's meant
really?
To
the alarm.
Really? Yeah,
what magic?
It's almost like a tune. Yeah, and it comes out and she sort of says mobilize. It tells you what fire engine's going out. It's not like bells. Yeah,
that's like the music they used to play in the chalets at Butley. Yes, yeah, yeah. Gently wake you up to something.
Just want a nice cup of tea and the birds to take your covers off you. Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
But yeah, so in the old days it used to be.
Nice to know, isn't it? They're waking them up gently.
You've got to be woken up gently.
You're burning in your room and he's going, he's putting on snooze.
I've got to work in a cab.
Ronan Keating.
He's there playing Zoom.
I've got to work in a cab the next day. I don't want to be teasing. Yeah. I don't want to be woken up.
We love that someone sat down and gone, let's wake these up gently.
Being woken up by Adele.
That's it. It's easy.
I didn't know you couldn't sing.
Anyway, I've got a pole in my spare room.
Have you really? Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
We dance around that at the end of the show. You should.
Just me, is it?
Yeah.
Wasn't the talk that was going to get rid of the poles?
They was going to get rid of poles, get rid of the
beds. Get rid of the bed.
I mean, when you say beds, we all know what that sounds like, but it's not. Yeah. You have to use half a brain. Most people that go, you sleep all night. Use your intelligence here. Let's not be uneducated. Don't be one of those people that read a crappy rag and say, you just sleep all night. What'd you do? Why are you bothered? If the bells go down and I'm doing something for you.
Yeah.
You absolutely. Aren't going to be bothered. I mean, I know that sounds crude, but that's it, really.
Some people get paid for what they know, others get paid for what they do, and some people get paid for just being there. Mm. And being a firefighter can be a combination of all of
free.
That.
It's all free.
Well, let's touch on the biggest disaster in my memory happened in London, Grenfell. What's your take on that atrocious situation?
Well, massive take, of course, because the politics involved in it. But the particular thing, I don't think we'll ever see anything. Well, we had obviously never seen anything like that before. Yeah. Shocked me. And at the time I'd still, it was only a few years, I've done a few years. Something that we got vilified in the hearing.
Disgracefully.
Yeah, absolutely disgraceful. But an easy target, very well set up, very politically easy to say, we'll start with the firefighters, we'll enrage everyone, and it will just cover up anything else that happens afterwards.
Because you put that cladding on there, didn't you? Yeah
exactly. That's right, I put the cladding on there, you know, and let's be honest, that cladding, we all know how corrupt things can be. That cladding, but it was everywhere else. Nothing had happened by that point. It's been going on these buildings for years and nothing had happened. We didn't care. So we're not all guilty, so we didn't know. But it was there, and it was just a disaster waiting to happen, and it was a factor. It was a it was a culmination of so much. All the hot night, windows being open, you know, they'll
perfect
tell you more.
Perfect storm.
Perfect storm. Yeah. And to watch that go and...
And the speed of it, really.
The speed of it. Do you know what? I'll bore you with it quickly.
No,
go
ahead.
We'll go to loads of different shouts. So we'll have a fire. We'll have maybe a suicide. We'll have people jumping under trains. We'll have people jumping out of buildings. We'll have all sorts of things. Grenfell was a culminate of... There was almost every possible experience we might have happened in one night.
Yeah.
And I don't think that... I mean, I would have coped, but it's one of the very few things... Everyone... What I'm trying to say is everyone has a defining job in their career. Some might not, but they will have something that happened. That happened that night to them. I'm glad that weren't me. Because I can handle lots of things. There's only two things that's ever bothered me emotionally in the fire brigade. If I was on Grenfell, that would have definitely been the one. And I would have been there, I'd have done what I needed to do, but in hindsight, I'm glad I weren't.
And you're talking to someone who's been 21 years
in
the service.
You know, you look at things like Ladbroke Grove train crash, you look at that and I think, you know, not in a horrible way, you think, God, that must have been a hell of an experience. The Clapham train crash. I mean, I wasn't in a job, but you know, what a hell of an experience that would have been. But Grenfell, no, I'm glad I weren't on that.
So,
you know, it's horrific.
How do you deal with these situations? Obviously, I can't imagine the sort of things you've dealt with, you've seen throughout your firefighting career. What do you do after that situation? How do you deal with it?
Honestly, you laugh
with your mates about stuff.
Your humour does it, your dark humour. You don't take the piss out of it. Sorry about that. Yeah, you don't, but you don't sort of. If you were to go back and sit there and shake your head and really are troubled by it, then you'll need some counselling. But they're not. The people, after a while, you get, you know, like after your first dead body, a dead body is just a dead body. It's a piece. It's not even a person. It's just a piece of meat. It's nothing. But then, if you get close to that sort of situation, like one of the only times I've ever done it, you know, I happened to see something personal of someone that had jumped in front of a train. I had to pick up his clothes and stuff that was on the side of, and that affected. That was it. I should never have looked at it because all of a sudden I had a link to that person.
Yeah.
Whereas these people that done Grenfell, they were trying to run in with, you know, we've seen it. I mean, you can't downplay it. It's proper heroism.
Yeah.
It's mad. God. And I would never sort of big that sort of thing up because it is just your job. You don't gain respect by going to everybody, yeah, but I was there. No, you just get on with it and you do. And most firefighters do that perfectly. Those ones were trying to run in with things hitting them from above and there's people screaming to get up there and the whole thing going up.
You're running in there and part of you's got to be thinking, I might not come back out.
Well, of course, yeah. But my humour to that is I always say, give the missus a kiss and say, you're going to give me a kiss tonight, I'm going to work. She says, oh, well, I'm coming in. I said, I come in last night. Could be.
You don't tell her she don't even care.
Yeah, and then when I turn up, she's disappointed I've turned up in the morning. Yeah.
She's got all the life insurance out the lock.
Yeah, she knows. She's ticking. She's straight on the phone when I leave.
Yeah,
he's gone now.
But this is the case, isn't it? For those people that, you know, think that maybe you shouldn't be sleeping through the night, then if anybody saves one person's life in the whole of their career, then they're worth all the weighty gold.
I think, you know, how much sleeping do people think we're getting? That's another thing as well. You're not shocked.
There's people out there who've got a problem with it.
It's mental.
And what would you be doing?
If I come into bed at 11 o'clock, why are you going to bed at 11? I wouldn't be. There's loads of things you're doing with your mates or something. You're having a laugh or you're doing something or on a shout, obviously. I might get in bed at 1 o'clock. I might get woken up at 3.
Yeah.
And then 5.
Yeah.
But and then 6.
What else would you be doing anyway?
Well, exactly. What do you want me to do? I mean, that's going back to Brian Coleman, tried to get you to do training through the night. Who wants a fire station active at night?
No.
They moan about it.
Unbelievable statement, isn't it?
It's mental. But, you know, it's not that I sit there and I... You know, it's when they say, look at... Like you said earlier, moonlighting. I said, look, how could you call it moonlighting? Like, I've got a mortgage. I've got things that rest on two jobs' money.
Yeah.
My money in a fire brigade is way less than this job people in this job can earn.
Yeah.
You know, way less than what other people. I don't moan about my money.
Yeah.
But don't tell me that I'm having it away by having two jobs.
Oh, yeah,
it's so backwards.
How often do you moonlight?
Quite a lot, if I'm honest.
I used to work in a print and I had a cab and someone used to say to me, oh, you're lucky you got a cab. I said, what are you doing on this?
Yeah, you're lucky. It's mental, isn't it? You're lucky.
Sitting at home watching EastEnders every night while I'm learning the knowledge.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You don't get handed it.
I've done the same. We all done the same thing. That test, the knowledge, is not easy. And everyone, anyone that does it, it's open to everyone. If you want to do it, do it. Don't have a go at me or get jealous that I've done it to further myself. I've done it initially for a retirement because it's an early thing and I don't want to retire and do nothing. I don't want to, I'm not someone that's going to go and have a house in Spain and sort of live on it. It ain't that much money, you know, but cabin would have been great. I just happened to get into it and I love it so much.
We do know, not unlike policemen, that firefighters are given a really easy time during the night.
We had a policeman on and we said he did the knowledge in about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
We picked on him a bit, but he was fine. We love Andy, don't we?
Yeah, Andy's a great guy. So where do you see the future being for fire stations? Are they going to keep shrinking down? Do you
I think they're desperate to keep shrinking them down.
They're going to go online.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised in the end if there was like super stations where you know you're doing stuff like that. But they'll reduce them. They're sort of talking about cuts at the moment, but the pandemic's put.
Do you think preventative measures they're putting in place is good enough? Because everywhere I live, every corner they're building a block of flats apartments. You know, so that's more potential there.
Well, I mean, you look at for our area, you look at the Nine Elms development. You know, the amount of things we've had we had a fire in an electrical cupboard not long ago above the Sainsbury's, the Sainsbury's and Nine Elms, and that was a logistical nightmare.
So I mean, that's like a new build. That's like another city.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. We couldn't. It took so long to get to it because it's up through stairs, entrance halls. Then there's up above this Sainsbury's and Nine Elms. It's like like you said, it's like a town.
Have
it's
you driven in there? I took a job in there. It is a maze. You go in and you're thinking like it's a cab driver. I know it's like new road, so you shouldn't know them, but it's mad.
And if you look up, there's someone swimming in a swimming pool. You seen a swimming pool between the two buildings?
Yeah, mate. It's got
a different world. It's linked. It links the two buildings with a glass swimming pool. That's a different world.
And also, we don't do politics on here. We haven't got the brain. Well, Sean has. Me and Mark ain't. But do the LTNs affect you being able to get to places with the road closures?
On a personal level, I'll be honest. Absolutely.
Because they say they consult you guys.
They consult them, yeah. But look, they're sort of you consult an organisation at the top. They're gonna play the game. Of course they are. Well, if they're seen, they can't be seen as an organisation. To go against TfL, the government that encourage you to walk, because they're right. Why not walk? There is too many private cars on the road. Yeah. You talk to any cabbie with half a brain who doesn't just want to go moaning about an LTN and actually think about it. There is too many cars.
Yeah, I think with the LTN, you have got to give it some critical thought. But I'm just talking purely from emergency services.
Yeah, but it just affects the. Look, there's an 8 minute turnout time. So you literally have got to get to your first incident in 8 minutes in London.
That's what they say.
6 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever it is. If we're delayed, we might still meet in the target, but we're delayed.
We
would have been there quicker.
Yeah. How much difference in that situation can 2 minutes make?
Oh, it's massive. Huge. Massive. You only have to use your head. You look at it. I mean, we're in Gresham Road, and if you turn right now onto Cold Harbour Lane, it's gridlock. Because of the rail and road LTN. It's as easy as that. There's no anyone that's ever been down there that drives the road. Look at the cabbies. Cabbies know it.
And you know that you need them. You can't get them big fire trucks down these little tiny turns.
Well, I can't get to that first bit. If you put a plant in the way, that's the end result. Because when I eventually get there, I'm discovering a plant, it's the people before that. Mm. They're all trying to. They can't turn left, so I can't get the fire engine down there. And I've had these arguments on Twitter. They're so quick to tell you how beneficial they are. Yeah. And I look once and I think, you're mental.
This is the difference, isn't it, between consulting at a corporate level and actually talking to the people whose boots are on the ground,
on the ground. That's why I always say it's in a personal level. I try and say, if I'm involved in something or an argument on there, and I say to people, look, I said, you can take that if you want. Take that as read that they say it's okay. The brigade, the ambulance, they're all happy with it. But I drive it, and it's delaying me. Yeah. I can't. I'm not lying about that. It's delaying me. So what do you want
Maybe
me to do about
you
it?
You need a few cats to die.
Yeah, a few cats. Cats in planters.
Cats
in planters would be alright. Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
just wait till one of those politicians gets stuck in an elevator.
That'll be good.
Law of change then.
You definitely drive
when
slow.
They need you. Yeah, when
you
they
promise
need
me, Lou, you drive slow that day. Yeah,
I will do. Yeah. Depends who it is.
Find that first. Yeah. Is it a Tory?
If it's,
who is
no,
it?
My name's not.
Right, we could talk for hours, I'm sure, about all the things you go through as a fireman. So where does the knowledge come into play? What made you do that and get into the line of it?
I went to do it about 3 years before I actually did. Bought the bike, done everything, and then just got lazy. I thought, oh, I was still earning a bit of money. I think I was doing a bit of scaffolding still here and there. And I just sort of, someone said, oh, you should do it. And I looked at it and I thought, so someone else was doing it with me.
Because a lot of firemen do it, don't they?
Well, I think there's a good couple of
firefighters.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a great, I said earlier, it's a great part-time job. Mm-hmm. It's a great part-time job. And it's a job where, you know, you'd think that a lot of people might encourage it. You know, there's a lot of green badges that are firefighters. They're not taking that money off the table of everyone else at any point.
No,
you know, they're part-time. Some might overdo it, some might hardly do it. But it's not a bad one. And if you can get it done, which I did, you know, it took me about 4 years. And I think it's probably the second best thing I've ever done after the brigade.
Well, they say, I was told numerous amounts of times, being a cab driver is the best part-time job in the world.
Oh, it's amazing.
It makes so much sense.
An examiner told me that. Mr. Price, who I really, really rated, he was a good examiner. About the same time that Sean got out, he said that to me. Best part-time job in the world.
And it took me a while to realise what that meant, but I understand now.
It's a perfect job, isn't it? I'm lucky enough at the moment to live in Brixton. I can dip in and dip out. I don't have to have a long journey. But I can't praise it enough. I tell people, I try and get loads of people to do it.
But
even now, I don't like
the problem is your overheads are still the same as a normal cab driver.
And
so if you can't commit enough time to it, it actually becomes a cost thing, doesn't it?
Of course it does. I mean, it's cost. I mean, I've gone into the savings. You know, I'm not coming out of this rosy at all. I've been struggling. I've had to do painting and decorating and stuff just to make
ends meet. Go around gals.
Sounds like you need to.
Listen, you think we've got it hard. Imagine that geezer, you know, the ones who used to beatbox on the streets. Imagine how that fella used to play the cone at Piccadilly Circus. I mean, he's out of work.
What about the man with a tattooed face who used to sell Gillette razors? You would know him. Gillette razors down the Waterloo Rank. He had a spider's web across his thing. I'm going back, probably 20 years. He kept me in razor blades for years. It was brilliant. Just steal them out of Superdrug and just sell them to the cabbies.
Yeah.
Because he had this tattoo on his face, you were never going to get work. You'd only ever get work over the phone.
Was his prison job.
And he used to come along and I'll get all my Mac 3s probably there, or maybe even Mac 2s. Oh, what's he doing now? Well, I think about him a lot.
So, point of the story, we're not the only ones having it.
Think of the people behind us.
I reckon that geezer was just about to get found out.
Well, I'm more worried about the tattooist. He's got no work now, is he? He can't go that near.
What about the circus that had...
Well, the
FUCK taxes.
They covered
him.
He's
got no taxes behind him.
We did. Oh, no. What was he doing? What's behind that? I mean, where was his logic to put that on?
Where are you so unhappy with taxi drivers that you've tattooed your car?
Well, you've got to be unhappy with life to want to target anybody with that level of intensity.
Sean's got I hate LTNs on his chest.
And women.
I'd try and show it off as much as I can.
Yeah. Underneath, he's got a vested top under there. We're sitting in a
minute. We'll get back to the point, sorry. Yeah. We digress.
How did we get onto this?
That was
Mac Freeze at Waterloo. Sorry, Marple.
How did you find the knowledge? Was there a bit of a boys' club in doing the
I'd done it around the same time as Ross. You had Ross on recently, didn't you?
Yeah,
so
yeah, great
Ross,
guy, friend of the show.
I'd done it about the same time, so we was in touch on Wizan. Never really had a proper call over partner. We had a couple of firefighters as well, a couple of good mates that were doing it, but we were at different stages. And I found the first bit, the first 2 years, incredibly hard because you're trying to fund yourself doing it. You can't, you know, I needed to still part-time. And then one day, my stepdad, bless him, he said, he gave me a bit of money. He said, does that cover what you got now? And I put my all into it. And it took me ages to pay him back, the usual thing, we all, you know, go into debt over it. But if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have just pushed on with it. That's because I just couldn't do it. And it was, I loved it, if I'm honest. If I look back to the knowledge, I absolutely loved it.
Do you know what I think is with that? It's that, what you've got to look forward to, that dreaming, what is it going to be like?
I'm talking about myself loads, but you know, I got so good at the end as well. I was reading off these runs and I thought, it's like the Matrix
when you start
seeing it all through this thing, and I was thinking,
it's called seeing it. Have you ever heard that saying when they say, seeing it?
Yeah,
I remember waking up one day, I was on probably late 28s, early 21s. And I was seeing it. I could have took me from anywhere to anywhere.
It was my third 56. I thought,
you were seeing it before me.
No, it still took me a while, but it took. But then it hit. there was a time, I'll tell you what, when it actually probably kicked in, was at my, I think it was my third 28, and I'd parked up at the Palestra, and I came out after, I think I'd got a C, and I came out all happy, and someone had stolen my bike.
Oh,
and I walked around the corner, right by, it was right outside the GSS. And I remember, you know, that heart thing goes, when you know, like people say when you're burgled, and I sort of walked around the corner, and I was like,
yeah, it was gone.
Should be there, my heart went. And I had to, at that point, I didn't have the money for another bike, so I had to point at home. And all I did was point to point, 12 hours a day. And I tell you what, within a couple of days of that, I just found it, and I just wanted it more. And then I was waiting 28 days, I was thinking, I can't wait 28, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And I was just pointing it out, and I was just, and I tell you what, if I'd still say now, if I want to get my stepson, he just ain't got it in him for it, but I say, if you want to do it, I'd help you through. I think I know how to do it now.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know
yeah.
everyone does. He's always got a story to say, but I think yourself, if you can just listen to where my mistakes were.
I think I would know what not to do, the things I did wrong at the beginning, but you know how.
There's also a trick not to overthink it.
Well, there was a big, you know.
I think there is, because you can try and get too much. You get to a point where you can only take so much in.
I think you can go out too much as well. Yeah. I know people say, you know, it's probably going against the grain. People said, oh, go out. I think you can go out too much on the bike.
Keep it simple.
Yeah,
stupid.
Just because they used to get points and used to go, I need to look at that point. But it's right next to that other
you
one.
Did
go,
it when,
oh, right,
you did it when it was a little bit more, you know, your
when
iPhone.
It was easier.
We did it. No, yeah, the quickie knowledge. Yeah. Me and Sean did the hard one, but we did it without the social media side, where you couldn't Google Maps or Street View like that.
You had to
generally,
go out there,
No, you had to, but you felt more better if you'd seen it. Whereas you can. Not do it on the carpet, but you can do it a little bit more, especially at the later stages. I think you're right.
But then perhaps the examiners know this, so they'll work around it. You know,
it's all very well going out on the bike, isn't it? It's about remembering it as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's the important bit. I think they're very good at the carriage office at recognising when you're ready to get out
as well.
Yeah, they're playing around, don't they?
Yeah, a lot of people say they don't do that. I think there's a lot of playing about. I think they look at some people coming in and they think, yeah, probably got that right, but at the same time, is he ready? And you know, in hindsight, why not? You know, why not? Because there is one thing that I come out, I changed so much when I done the knowledge. It's self-discipline, and the desire to do it was there without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And when you come out, I think you're a better person. I honestly think you are, because you've taken some. I mean, it's an old exam, but it's a hit. It's a hit to you. I remember going in the classic, you know, gunning, you know, and he annihilated me. You should know this. This is the back of your streets. This is Clapham, aren't you?
Yeah.
This is like so hard. What are you telling me I should know this?
Yeah, yeah.
But when I look back now, he was telling me to have a look. I might never see that road again. Yeah. But he was telling me to be a little bit more. And I just think when, you know, again, it's hindsight. If you want to get out in 2.5 years, fantastic. But 4 years, still done the same thing.
Yeah.
Some people, I remember Alex on Twitter, I can't remember his name on there, but he'd done it for like 7 years.
Oh, I'm at for 14 years.
14 years?
Yeah. 14 years.
Is that just
14 years?
That's mad, 14 years.
That's people that have done it.
Better pay to him. Do you know what? You feel more because how much determination must he have had to put that through? Because you can't fail it, you can only give it up.
Yeah.
Well, it's like anything, isn't it? The process is quite often as valuable as the result, isn't
Absolutely.
It? And in this case, you recognize, you kind of recognise it retrospectively, don't you? You look back on it and think, actually, that was a really good process.
And long way it stayed.
Yeah, and people would like, they want to get rid of it, and they say they want to. And like you said earlier, the world's it's rubbish at the moment. People are offended, people are annoyed with everything, and it comes full circle. Like, well, we don't need the knowledge now.
You do need the knowledge.
Yeah, but it's only people stuff, from outside, isn't it?
But they're the ones with the power, aren't they? They're the ones that you. It's never. Like, you know, I don't want to sound like a fellow, but we are so hard done.
I'm not sure that they will. I think what in the real world. Most people, 90% of people are pretty reasonable and sit in the middle, and then you've got the very loud 5% on this side, 5% on the opposite side, and they're the ones that tend to be the loudest voices. But I think most people are sensible, and I don't see the knowledge changing anytime.
Well, what hours do you work there, mate? You work evenings and nights?
When life's normal, I do, because of where I live, I do any time.
Yeah.
You know, I love going out late. But it messes up your family life, you know, if you've got kids. I've got two young girls, so when you see that you're going out and you ain't seen them for 2 days, and you've obviously don't have to get, I've done nights as well, so I have to be careful what I balance. But yeah, I like it all. I love a Saturday morning, 5:30 out. If I'm out in the morning, I'm out at 5:30. I like to be out. I like to be done, and if I've got my money, I like to be home by 11 and then go for a run, have a sleep, do what I need to do. I love the job. I love what it gives
Everybody's got a story. Have you got a story?
Probably.
What's your best job? I remember we spoke and you was telling me about this dodgy journey you had around East London.
To this day, he scares the life out of me, this fella.
Scares a fireman, what are we going
to
do?
Jeez, honestly, to this day, he scares the life out of me. I picked him up. Leather jacket, collar on. He had a couple of scars, skinhead. He was holding, I should have known straight away, he was holding a bundle of money anyway. I think he obviously had the money open as if I was going to say no, and he was going to say, I can pay. And I was thinking, well, you don't know, I'm a year in, I'm thinking, get in here, I'm loving this job. Yeah, it's going to be great. And also, I remember I must have got a job, it was out East London, and I got a job out there. And as I was coming in, he's held me on like Mile End Road straight away. And I was like, oh, this is lovely. This is brilliant. He's going back into the city. And he went, oh, I've got a couple of things. He got in, he said, all right, mate, he said, a couple of things. He said, I want to just drop round to here. And he said some random estate. I had to use my phone instantly, which I thought, oh, I don't like the sounds of this. I was thinking, well, this ain't the knowledge area, this ain't. So he's got in, he sent me to a couple of places. Oh, halfway there, he's told me to turn the music up. I weren't even playing music. Turn the music up, mate. I weren't playing music. For what? I went, oh, you want the radio on? Yeah, turn it up. I love this tune. There was no tune on. I'm thinking, well, what have I got here? So he's gone to the first one.
What did you put on, the Fireman Lullabies?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I could have put on anything he would have heard differently. He's gone up to this second floor of this thing. He's told me to wait there.
So you're driving, man.
I drive to this thing at this estate, and he's told me to wait there. And as he's gone, I thought, well, that's nothing. At the moment, alarm bells are ringing, but I'm thinking that I'm all right. I'm not a fighter, but I can handle myself.
Did you think to go?
Not yet, but he went to the second floor, and then I heard a couple of loud bangs, like not like gunshot bangs, don't get me wrong, I would have gone like a shot.
Yeah.
But he's obviously smacking the door saying, he's come down, he hasn't come down rushed, I've looked at him before. So he's come down, he went, oh, nice one, mate. He said, right, up the road, do a right, he told me another road, somewhere off Thomas Road, I think. So I've drove there, and I'm a bit worried now, because it's another estate, and he's got out, and I'm a bit naive, I don't know what he's doing here, if I'm honest, I'm a bit naive. So he's got out, and as he's got out on this one, he's leant through the passenger window, and he's gone to me, he knows my name now, and he's gone, Lewis, you won't leave me, will you? And he's looked me right in the eye, like with that will you, with a point. And I thought, oh, now I was going to go.
Yeah.
Now he has scared me into not going. Now I'm thinking, well, I could go.
He could find out.
But he scared me into not going. All of a sudden I'm thinking he's going to hunt me down.
How many Lewis cab drivers are there?
Yeah, he knows I'm South London. He's already asked me where I'm from. What an idiot. Yeah. I should have said North London.
He knows you like magic, FM.
I am sweating. And he's gone away. And I've heard another bit of a commotion. And this time he's sort of, I can see him running along the balcony. And I thought, fuck. So I kind of did wait, because it was a point where I thought, I can't drive away. But then he didn't come back for about 2 or 3 minutes. And his jacket was in the back.
What's the meter on about this?
Meter's on about 35 quid. Yeah. And we've done three.
And you got
four.
A nice leather trench coat,
well,
in the back.
It wasn't a nice one, otherwise I would have taken that as well. No. But he's got his stuff in it, whatever it was. And I got in the back, got his jacket.
Oh, you chucked out.
I've never drove so quick.
Oh, you got out.
Oh, I got out. Yeah, that's right. Let it be known on record, I'm a coward. And it's a word.
And it's Sean in the show, Sean. He burst the bubble.
It was dangerous. It was so dangerous.
Now, Mark's got a name for this. It's called being spooked.
Yeah, spooked.
It's a particular job for no particular reason.
Well, what I say spooked is, if you ever, like, say it's 2 a.m. and you're doing another job at Shoreditch or Clapham High Street, and you think, I can't do this anymore, I can't have it, and you, light goes off, I can't do it anymore. I've had the last 6 passengers have annoyed me, and that's your spooks. Yeah. You can't do it anymore.
Did you go straight back to work or did you call? No, I went straight home.
I went straight over the river. I know I did that. I went straight over the river,
and changed your name for at least
6 months. Every time I went over that way, I looked
around. How much was on the clock at this time?
Well, that was like 35, maybe 40 right. quid. Okay.
And the leather jacket weren't covering.
No, that weren't covering nothing. And I dumped that. I did that went out the window, and I drove away.
What
I drove away looking for the
money. What do you think he was doing?
Oh, debt collecting.
He's debt collecting. He was, whatever he was doing, he was hitting people.
It was really funny. Now, after Lou told me this story. I rung my mate, Dave the Debt Collector, and I spoke to him, and he said, yes, that was me. He's asked me to Lou's number.
Yeah, yeah. And here he is today.
You know what? And he's outside.
And he's actually a primary school teacher.
Yeah, he's outside in a t-shirt because he lost his jacket.
He was hearing music. He was hearing music. Yeah. There was no music going on.
That would have freaked me out.
Yeah. You know, anyone else now, I'd go, what are you doing?
Why would you do that? If you've got to go and bash people up, Dick Clare, I know what I'd do. I'd do it. I'd look like I'll hail a cab.
Oh, he's just a very... He's just. I'll tell you what, he's just a very affluent Dick Clare, isn't he?
He's having his
time.
Job.
Yeah, he's having a great time. He wants comfort. In between beating the crap out of people, he wants comfort.
He's beating people up to get the money for the cab. So really, he's trying to help you out. He's trying to help you out. And you made him feel comfortable. He left his coat in the back. He made himself.
That's a great story, mate.
I don't know. I suppose people must. He must get in cabs all the time. Someone must have had him as well. I mean, I wonder if he's ever done the same thing.
He goes through 12 jackets a year.
But he's never paid a cab fare. He thinks it's free. He said it's brilliant. It's great. They're great. They are. You annoy
him. He's a bit advocate of the trade.
Learn their name, right? Get him to put a Fat Larry Zoom on, and then eye him up. Eye him out. When you get upstairs, shout a bit. Yeah, he always drive off.
Kick a few doors.
He's got his wife the outside door going, bang the door a couple of times. Yeah, he's gone. He's gone, yeah. Very far could I got there.
And he's left me jacket. What a lovely guy. That's a great story. Right, we're getting towards the end. So what we do at the end of each show, Lou, is we play a little game. Now, it's a bit of fun for anyone listening. It's called Are You a Classy Cabbie or a Dirty Dog? We ask you a series of questions.
Classy cabbie.
Well, yeah, well, that's what we're going to say. Do you consider yourself to be a classy cabbie?
I do. I'm definitely not a dirty dog. No, so if it's anything other than a dirty
dog. It's our decision.
Yeah, I know, by the sounds of it.
All jokes aside, it's very light-hearted and just answer the questions openly and honestly and we'll make a judging at the end.
Go on.
All right, mate? So, the first question is, do you rent or own your taxi?
Own. Best thing I ever did.
Right, that's good. So, you keep it nice and clean, I'd imagine?
I do, yeah.
Is it a weekly clean, do you reckon? Weather permitting?
Every time I'm on shift at the fire station, it gets clean.
Oh, good, man. Well, you got the time, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, would you set your alarm to clean?
Set my alarm, get up nice and early, get up at least 7:30.
Right, that is very classy.
And what type of cab do you drive?
It's a TX4. But I've just decided to.
The old lung shrinker, eh?
He's still killing kids.
Yeah, still killing kids.
You're killing kids. You're only South London kids.
Don't drive near no primary schools, do you, in that thing?
No, but that's for other things. Yeah.
So that's why there's LTNs in his area, because he's
dirtying up the. Right. Have you ever had to fuel up while you've got a passenger on board?
Yeah, unfortunately I've had to do it. This seems to get everyone. Had to do it twice, and both the same things, both Heathrow's, both the same petrol stations, and both when I thought.
Did you go out your way to get the cheap fuel?
No, I would like to have though, because that one on the way out on the A4
is terrible. Yeah, yeah. About 1.35
a litre. I only put £4 in anyway.
You're not doing so well.
Am I not?
He was so confident when he came in. He went, "I'm not a, definitely not a dirty dog."
He's a Chelsea season ticket holder, so he could tell me that he's got four piss bottles and some of them are actually in the back. He's still not going to be a dirty dog. He's Chelsea. We don't do that.
I've got a good one. So, has a cabbie ever took a job off you, nicked your job, either accidentally or on purpose, whatever, and you said, "Wait, that's my job there," and then you've got that awkward situation where they go, "Boy, take it then." And now the passenger that has to get out and get in your cab. What do you do? Do you say no, keep it, or do you get the passenger in?
I've had a few rows where I pontificate about it, but I've never... I just say, go on. I'm not that desperate. I've hopefully got that idea where I'll pick enough one up the road.
I did it once, right? And out of principle, I said, yeah, send them over. And they got in. It was the most awkward journey ever.
You have to explain, didn't you?
I had to explain, and they don't get it. I was like, no, what it is, madam, right, is that wasn't your job. And she's like, what are you talking about?
Saying,
well, the etiquette.
She didn't care about it. I let him out.
And listen to the word. Then she said to me, oh, have you got an iPhone charger? I said, no. She went, oh, he did.
Let me go and catch him up.
I once berated someone on there. If he listens to this, he's a mate on Twitter now, and he's a really nice fellow. He doesn't do it, but he.
You've got a mate on Twitter?
Yeah, I know. I've got some lovely people on here, you know. There's a lot of art.
He is good on Twitter if you get a chance to follow him.
No, don't do that. No, don't. You're going to be sacked. So, and I berated him. I thought you had done something. You were doing like that. And he went, is that Lewis on Twitter?
Oh,
and
I went,
and he tried to do it, and I was like, oh, sorry, mate, you know. sorry about having a go. We kind of laugh about it, but it makes me cringe just thinking about it now. That I literally had a go at someone that knew who I was, and I had got it wrong. And I'm very quick to hold my hands up and other times, but you know when you don't, I can't get this wrong in a cab. I'm a cabbie now. You don't get nothing wrong in a cab.
I have once, I'll never forget, I must have, and it was a complete accident. And the fella said, "Wait, mate, that's my job." I said, "I'm very sorry." I said, "Excuse me, you have to get into that cab." They went, "No." I went, "No, you don't understand. You wasn't supposed to get in my cab. You're supposed to get in my cab." They went, "I am not getting out." And I was like, "You know, I had to turn the other cabs on and go, mate, they won't get out." And he was like,
"Because they want Terminal 5 and they won't get out."
They just don't want to get out. They're sitting for the comfort now.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Have you ever been on the front of a rank? Someone comes up, they want a job not so far, and then you give them direction. You say, "No, what you want to do is you want to go walk straight. You can walk there quick. Yeah. You got to go there. First left, second right, go just a bit further. It's 5 minutes. You know in your brain it's about an half hour walk."
All right, so at the beginning when I said not a dirty dog, right?
Yeah.
Does the Crown Plaza on King Cross Road count? If you're on King's Cross at the front and you tell them, give them directions for the Crown Plaza on King's Cross
Road. My personal opinion, you've got to do that job. That's my personal opinion.
Right, so once I might not have done that job, but I have also done less journeys than
that. Did you give them the directions?
Yeah.
And did you tell him it was only a 5 minute walk?
I mean, that isn't.
I know it's not a 5 minute walk.
No, it's a trek. If you've got a walk,
that's about 20 minutes.
How many suitcases did they have?
That's the thing, isn't it?
They've just come in. Oh my God, I'm a dirty dog.
We always catch people out. We're all humans. We all make mistakes.
Do you ever, this is a pet hate of mine, when you see cab drivers wedge a cup of tea or coffee in their wing mirror,
bottle of lemonade,
and I think, ain't there enough room in the front for the
drink?
What are they saving? It plays on my mind. And if what does that do to that drink to make? Oh, I'll put my drink outside. Look how clever I am.
I know. Look, well, you think I'm going to lean? I'm lean for no one.
Do you know, does it keep it hot or cold? What does it do?
Do you know another one as well? Like, I hope I'm not going to speak out of turn here, but if you've got to open your boot to stop people nicking you, don't rank up
on the back of a rank.
Don't do it. If you've got to get out and open your boot, keep driving. Just keep driving. That's because I went past one today, the classic sort of Buckingham Palace Road entrance for Victoria. His boot's open. Just keep driving. Go and join the five of them at the list or something.
It's not a classy look, is it?
They say, "I just want to go up to Knightsbridge." Yeah, 1 minute. Just got to get out.
Or even what I say to mate, shut me boot. I've got me Lucas idea. You can tell I can't
leave my boot home because I've got all my worldly goods. It'll all come out.
I can imagine. Around,
you know, his cab doubles up as a caravan.
It's pure filth that falls out.
Everything I own.
I know. You imagine it falls out.
Yeah.
We've got any more? Okay. Have you ever broomed a job?
I haven't. Definitely
it's
not.
That's a great call to say.
No, I know I haven't. The only closest I come, I didn't have my light on, but I did pull over for him. I'd done about 12 hours. I was knackered. Mm. And I was going down Regent Street heading home, and these four drunk women, dolly birds, sort of all basically in a row waving at me. So they never forced me to pull over, but I thought, just let myself down. I was like, well, they might want to go sort of that way. Yeah. I said, look, first thing I did, well, I've done a couple of times, I'm going this way.
And I'm a fireman.
Yeah, my light ain't on. I said, but I'll take it. And they said, Loughton. And I'd had a good day, I honestly thought I'd fall asleep or say I was knackered.
You wouldn't go there if you'd had a bad day.
But it's not strictly brooming. It's not strictly brooming.
No, that's what I think.
We'll give you that one. But that goes nicely on to my next question. So you end your shift, you're deciding to go home, but you're a bit groovy. One more job. Let's see if I get lucky. Let's roll the dice. Got your light on, the flag. Do you pull up and go, listen, I'm only going south?
Yeah.
Do that.
Well, I done one more once. Remember they was letting you into Victoria, like you had to queue up for the marshals, and the marshals say,
after 12.
And I was going, and there was no one on that bit, and I thought, I was just going home, and I thought, I'll go one more. And as I went in, and I thought, why have I done this? And I got Brighton. And I thought,
Brighton, geez. Yeah, but it was, and that's mad. And
you're disappointed. 3 in the morning, and I didn't want it. And I was like, I did do it in the end. But he was like, "Yeah, please, please do it." That was one where it nearly caught me out. I thought,
I got a Bournemouth once from Curzon Street. He'd been cheating on his wife, and he had to get home because he told her he was on the last train. He said, "I've got to get home." He said, "I could love to stay here. It'd be cheaper, but I can't. I've got to get home.
Yeah,
I get to Bournemouth." But the job was a nightmare. I was at the end of my shift. The time I got there. And I got to drive back. I took a photo of the Bournemouth station and sent it to a few cabbie mates just to let them know, you know, just
yeah, of course you've got to do that. Yeah,
when they wake up, when they wake up, he's not the guy of Bournemouth, you know, the phone. Don't wind me up, isn't there Bournemouth? I did have a Bournemouth, yeah. But the journey home was so hard, tired.
Yeah.
So, you know, another 2 hours.
In lockdown, I had a Reading, just out of the blue, got up in the morning, pinged off. When I got there, she said, oh, I need to go Reading. She was doing sort of like a exam for the lawyers and stuff. And I didn't want to go. I mean, I done
it. Mad, didn't
it? I didn't want to go because it's lovely. Lockdown, yeah. I know.
And
I
do that thing for 5 minutes. You talk 1 minute. So is it? Yeah, fine.
I felt like saying to her, look, can we not talk on the way there? Yeah. I'm worried the cab ain't going to make it anyway. You know, you always worried the cab ain't going to make it. Yeah,
well, I done it.
Well, you've not. Look at this. Beautiful.
It ain't going to make it on electric, that's for sure.
No.
Right, it's been a. He ain't the dog, is he?
No. And he's a hero. He's a firefighter and he's an hero.
He's what I want to be when I grow up.
You've got to stop it, guys. You're right, but you've got to stop now. You've really got to stop it.
He's a firefighter, Chelsea fan, South London. He's a top man.
He's a classy cabbie. All day.
Classy cabbie.
All day. Listen, Luke, thanks for coming, mate.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed that.
Real pleasure having you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for asking me.
All right. Brilliant, Luke. Brilliant. You've been listening to Cab Class with Gary, Mark and myself. And if you fancy having a go, if you can stand the test and being quizzed by what is conclusively the best looking cab drivers in London, Gary and Mark, if you can stick it out, then get in touch. You can email us at newcabclass@gmail.com. All that's left for us to say is have a good week. Till next week. There you go.
Cheers,
did you
mate.
Enjoy it?
Yeah, thank you very much.
It was all right, wasn't it?
Thanks very much.
I really enjoyed that.
Time,